What do politicians and salamanders have in common? However much you think you know about political redistricting, you'll want to read Victoria Hoffman's explainer today on the practice of gerrymandering. You'll learn the backstory of its name, coined in 1812 right here in the state of Massachusetts. Gerrymandering intensified during the Reconstruction era as Americans struggled to articulate who are we and what do we stand for. The practice of politicians redrawing congressional voting maps to give their party a better shot at winning persists to this day in blue and red states alike. It's Thursday, November 20th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kendra Nordine Beato. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. A geothermal project in Oregon could turn one of America's most dangerous volcanoes into a major source of clean power. Startup Mazama Energy is drilling into the flanks of Newberry Volcano to tap super hot rock, where temperatures can exceed 750 degrees Fahrenheit, the Washington Post reports. Geothermal energy has traditionally depended on rare underground reservoirs of hot water. If successful, this model could help make geothermal a far larger player in global energy systems. New Zealand banned puberty blockers for transgender youth, with Health Minister Simeon Brown citing insufficient evidence of their benefits or risks. Existing patients and those with conditions such as early puberty can still access them. The new precautionary approach aligns with regulations in Britain, Finland, Norway, and Sweden. Mr. Brown touted the measure as a safeguard so families can have confidence that any treatment is clinically sound and in the best interests of the young person. Also, certain birds are returning to France's fields 4 years after the European Union banned bee-harming pesticides. Blackbirds, blackcaps, and chaffinches are some of the insect-eating bird populations that have made a comeback. One researcher told The Guardian he was surprised you could already see recovery. Neonicotinoids, the most common class of insecticides, are still widely used in the United States. Now, today's Monitor Stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Richard Nixon's war on drugs has always entailed a degree of U.S. pressure on foreign allies, but the Trump administration's strikes on suspected drug smuggling boats off of Venezuela charts a new course of non-cooperation. Whitney Ulick reports from Mexico City for The Monitor. The Trump administration helped stem fighting between Thailand and Cambodia, in part by making trade negotiations contingent on peace. Now, the ceasefire is falling apart and possibly pushing Bangkok closer to China. Contributor Christopher Cottrell reports from Saket, Thailand, for The Monitor. Attempts to control the drawing of congressional districts to benefit a party or candidate stretch back nearly to the country's founding. This year's spurt of redistricting has cast renewed interest on what gerrymandering is and how it works. Victoria Hoffman reports for The Monitor. Black Americans fought long and hard for the right to vote and participate in U.S. society, says Representative Jim Clyburn. His new book, The First Eight, remembers that history and offers light on where the country stands today. Ken Macon writes for The Monitor. Amir Lowry, co-founder of the nonprofit Open Goal Project, believes that the pay-to-play soccer club model shuts out all but the most resourced families. But remove the monetary obstacle, and the soccer talent in the United States could brim over. Simon Montlake reports from Washington for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on lessons in multilateral mediation. During a visit to the United States this week, Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman achieved much of what he sought, mainly access to advanced American fighter jets and microchips and major ally status with the U.S. He also received a reputational redemption of sorts when President Donald Trump dismissed questions about the prince's suspected involvement in the murder of a Saudi journalist. And thanks to diplomacy by Saudi Arabia, along with Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, Mr. Trump also got something he wanted and needed: approval from the UN Security Council for his Gaza peace plan. Soft power persuasion by these three Arab states helped avert potential vetoes by China and Russia. It underscored the value of keeping doors open to even potential foes and to the institutions that maintain multilateral relationships. The Gulf states are playing a growing role in many global standoffs and bring unique perspectives to international mediation. According to former UN Mideast peace envoy Nikolai Mladenov, they approach conflict resolution as not a singular event, but a process that requires nurturing understanding, cooperation, and interdependence among former adversaries. Both culturally ingrained and politically strategic, this standpoint fosters enduring relationships and careful building of trust and rapport, he wrote last year. Such interactions are based on pillars of respect and consensus, and on not publicly maligning any party. Perhaps more than public pressure or quick deals, values such as these might prove better adapted to the complex military and trade wars of today. In recent years, Qatar mediated a 2020 deal between the U.S. and Afghanistan. Oman played bridge builder between the U.S. and Iran. And the UAE facilitated a prisoner exchange between Russia and Ukraine. Even with its avowed America First stance, the Trump administration recognizes the value that a multilateral approach provides. Mike Waltz, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, acknowledged Arab allies' absolutely indispensable support. These countries supported the U.S. seeking a mandate from the U.N. to implement key steps for Gaza, especially setting up a governing board of peace and a stabilization force, with troops expected from some Arab and Muslim-majority countries. The Gulf states are uniquely positioned to support these efforts due to their foreign policies of balancing relations between hostile regional and global powers and their close ties with Washington, the International Center for Dialogue Initiatives observed. The fact that they have the money to pay for peacetime reconstruction in Gaza helps, too. In addition to underscoring the importance of patience and persistence, the Gulf states take an approach that also offers a less obvious lesson: the quiet in quiet diplomacy. According to Mr. Mladenov, an emphasis on dignified discussion and confidentiality has proved particularly effective in resolving disputes that might otherwise escalate under the harsh spotlight of social media polarization and global attention. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, by understanding God as all power, we can see the powerlessness of sickness and find healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks. thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.